So today we want to talk about how to keep our hearts or guard our hearts. Alright? The heart is getting your heart right when it comes into resolving conflict, into working out issues in relationship. Your heart must be right. If your heart is not right, that means the words will not be right. You agree? Because it's from the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. So if the heart is not right in trying to resolve a conflict, that means also the words will not be right. Now this is known throughout scripture. Jesus did say, actually Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, check your heart. Get your heart right. Because out of it springs the issues of life. So I'm talking about what issues do you have in your life. Good issues from the heart. Bad issues from the heart. Every issue, good or bad and ugly, is from where? The heart. So if I don't check the heart, if I don't guard the heart, if I don't keep a pulse on my heart, the condition of my heart. Now when I say heart, of course, you understand what I'm talking about. It's the makeup, your internal makeup of how you think and process about things. Does that make sense? Yeah. We're not talking about the organ in your body. We're not talking about it's the real thing that makes you, that internal makeup of who you are. It's the heart, the condition of your heart. So in other words, I need to check the condition of my heart before I engage into resolving conflict. Where is my heart right now? What am I thinking? So in other words, look at this. Maybe you and somebody matters to you, you want to have a conversation to resolve some conflict. The first thing you want to do, because you may be angry, you may be irritated, the first thing you want to do is probably check your heart. Where is my heart? What's the condition of my heart? Is my heart on the attacking mode? Do I want to take him out? Do I want to give him a piece of my mind? Where am I? Sometimes it may be helpful to actually talk to somebody that you trust, that is mature, somebody you trust, and say, hey, this is my thought process. This is how I'm thinking to deal with this. Now, be careful who you talk to. Don't talk to somebody that agrees with you. Amen. How many know it's easy to talk to somebody who agrees with you? They're like, yeah. Go ahead, give them a vision of mine. Yeah, I can't believe that either. No, yeah, that's so bad. That's so horrible. Oh, that's unbelievable, man. If it was me, and they just go on, right? If people don't, those kind of people don't help you. And again, don't go on Facebook. Can I get an amen? Amen. Don't go to Facebook to tell us what you're thinking or how mad you are. I think that is very childish, in my opinion, going to Facebook and telling everyone how mad and upset you are. And those people are not here, so it's okay for me to talk about that. But I'm saying be able to process and find somebody who can give you positive engagement and really check where your heart is. Because if you don't check your heart and make sure that things are settled inside of you, what's going to come out is not going to be good. So guarding your heart is very critical. And that's what the Bible says, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart. What? Brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. So when I brought forth evil, when I spoke hurtful words, it was because I allowed hurtful words to be in my heart. When I spoke words that belittled somebody, it's because I allowed that to be in my heart. When I was sarcastic to just drill somebody, it's because I allowed that to be in my heart. Whatever comes out when you call people names and you get in a fighting mode is because you've allowed that in your heart. Don't ever believe when people say, well, I said it, but I didn't mean it. Okay, people say that, but that's not true. you said it, but you're regretting it. People can't say, well, I said it, but I regret it. They just say, well, I said it, but I don't mean it. Well, the time you said it, you've allowed it in your heart. And so it came out. And it's okay to say, I said it and I regret it. Because that shows a heart that is broken, that's willing to say, I'm sorry. Right? So it's so important that you know if my heart is all right. Not someone else's heart, my heart. Because once again, in conflict, in relationships, it's easy for us to think it is someone else's heart. But you gotta think about your heart. What's the condition of your heart? We want to focus, you know, we felt like, okay, maybe last Sunday we said, well, let's talk about how to engage the other person and everything else, and now let's deal with the other person. But it's believed, there's a lot of emphasis in the word about me first, about you first, before the other person. And also psychology says, the 80-20 rule, which says 80% of the solution to any conflict lies within you before the other person. So 80% is in you and 20% is the other person. I know we like to live it the other way around, 80% them and 20% me. But it's the other way around. 80% of the solution to resolving any conflict lies inside you, not in your spouse, not in your neighbor, not in your coworker, not anybody else. And of course, I don't expect an amen there, but that's what it is. So God says, hey, it's your heart. And when we read this, let's make sure we notice what God says. It says your heart, not their heart. But the way I grew up pointing fingers, blaming somebody else. So this is a whole new concept of trying to understand it's me. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here. Now, look at what Jesus said. He said, what?
That's not you.
Yeah. But Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 18, look what he said. But what comes out of what? Proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles a person. It's what defiles relationship. Okay? So what comes out is from the heart. So in other words, if I want to have healthy relationships, if I want to have quality relationship, I got to keep a tight pulse on my heart, the condition of my heart. And that's what we're going to talk about. I need to keep a tight condition. Pause on the condition of my heart. Where is my heart? How am I thinking? How am I processing? Okay, I need to check my heart. And if I can't check it all by myself, I have to have people in my life that I trust. That I trust. I trust their maturity. I trust their season. That I can tell them, hey, this is where my heart is. And they have the right to check me and make sure that inside of me, what comes out will not defile me or defile the people in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
Now, so, you see, God says, whatever's going on, speak it. Rather, speak the truth in love. Now, there are two ends to that truth. You know, some people do not want to speak the truth because they want to hold the love. Right? So I'm not going to bring it up because I want to hold the love to go, right? And then some people don't want to, they will speak the truth but won't speak it in love. So when they speak the truth, which is the facts, the whole truth, but not in love, it's damaging. Right? It's hurtful. There's resentment. So the last time they tried to speak the truth in love, it didn't go well. There were fights and there were quarrels. So now they're like, the next time they have to speak the truth, they'd rather not speak the truth because last time when they tried to speak the truth, they lost on love. So now because they don't want to lose on love, they will not speak on truth. So here is the thing. God says, do not hold back the truth. The truth matters in the relationship. How you feel about what's going on matters. Say it the truth. But you need to know how to say it in love. Because if you just say the truth of how you feel or what's going on inside you or how you've been hurt or how it's affected you, but not in love, then it's going to hurt the person that you're talking to. And that doesn't build up the relationship. Make sense? So I need to be able to speak the truth and speak it in love. Make sense? Because when it talks about love here, it's talking about just the piece that you hold together. You know, people say, I don't want to rock the boat, so I'm not going to say anything. You ever heard that? Then I'm just going to stay sad and miserable and just for the peace, I'm not going to say anything. That's not God's will. God never told you, for the sake of peace, don't say anything. He said, say something, but say it in love. Because if you say it in love, then it's going to be helpful. It's going to protect. It's going to preserve. Amen. Can we get some help in the house? Amen. Here's what I'm saying. Why does it matter to speak the truth in love? If you don't talk it out, you're going to act it out. And you may not act it now, but if you don't talk about it, you avoid talking about it, you don't want to rock the boat. For the sake of peace, you're going to hold your mind. 1 year may go by, you don't want to talk about it. 2nd year may go by, you don't want to talk about it. But maybe the 3rd year, you may act it out. And everyone says, how did that happen? I never saw it coming. How could we just have this now? Well, how did that happen? For all these years, it seemed good. Well, no. For all these years, we just avoided talking about it. We didn't want to rock the boat. We just want to hold peace. We didn't talk about it. The way God created us, if you don't talk about it, you're going to act it out. So that's why God says, I don't want you to act out what you didn't talk, so I want you to talk in truth, in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, deal with it. Talk about it. Because if you talk about it, it's going to create, move you forward in a new direction. Make sense? So that's why this matters. And so many of us don't talk because we don't know how to talk. And so I want to ask you to come up now. Before we go further, I'm going to play a little quick scenario and I'm going to give a little mic here. This is something she talked about last week. About a conversation, and it's about having fruitful conversations, and of course it's not only to marriage relationships but also any relationship, whether co-workers, friends, family, you know, wherever there's an issue you want to talk about it. So you can watch for a minute. Okay.
All right, so you just watched a preliminary conversation about a really important issue to two people. Now, I don't know if that, in your mind, watching, if this conversation went well or not, if the complete truth was shared or not, okay? So I have an exercise for you. I have a green paper. I have some yellow paper there, Dion, if you don't mind. Have you ever want to get a piece of paper? And you're going to do the very same thing that we just did here. I want you to think about a conversation you have had in the past, a really important conversation. And I want you, you're not going to share this with anyone unless you choose to. I want you to create two columns on that paper. On the right-hand column, I want you to write how that conversation went, what you said. On the left-hand column, I want you to write what you were actually thinking. I think you saw that Sunny was actually thinking some things, but she did not say them, right? So I want you to write, and maybe in your conversations you said everything that you were thinking. That's great. So let's take a few minutes, maybe 3 minutes, and write that down. And then we let me know when you're done writing that. Yes, Tom?
Now, what are the headings on the two columns?
Oh, the headings on the two columns. On the right-hand column, it's what you actually said, what actually went down in that conversation. And then in the left-hand column, you're going to write what you were actually thinking, your true thoughts during that. It may be with your neighbor, it may be with your spouse, it may be with your coworker, it may be with your boss, it may be with your kid, it may be with your sister, with your brother. Think of a conversation that is really important that you had. The purpose of this exercise is we're going to do some diagnosis. After this, we're going to diagnose Samuel and John's conversation. And then also, you are going to take time and diagnose your own conversation.
Okay. So the left column is what you're thinking. The right column is what you're actually saying.
Yes.
Again, yeah, think about a crucial conversation that you might have had. Left column is what you were thinking and never said. Right column is what you actually said.
So I think we all agree that the conversation that John and Samuel had was not complete because one person did not express their feelings, their wants, their fears, and their thoughts for many reasons. And for me, you remember the homework that we did last time? Like, what are the things that patterns? So for me, in my life, I see that pattern. When I'm confronted by a difficult conversation, even when I'm thinking these things, because I want to keep the peace, I would rather keep quiet.
Yeah.
Okay? And so the three things that we used to... it says, know this, beloved... Brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I think the reason we chose this scripture is when you're preparing to have this really important conversation, it's very important for us to prepare. Many times we go into this, like I was caught off guard, definitely, so I didn't have time to prepare. But the more I know my tendencies, I think it would have helped to say, hey, John, this is a really important conversation. Give me time to think about this, and let's, you know, come back. That would really have helped. So the three things that we need to look at, and I want you, when I talk about these three things, which are very scriptural, we all know this, all truth is parallel. It comes from the Bible. So, I think this is not the scripture, the thing. So the three things, I guess we missed it. No. Okay, just leave it there. Because evidently we have a slide missing. So there's three things that we need to look at when making our truth, our content. When you're going to speak with somebody, that what of what you say is really important. Now, when you're preparing content to go talk to somebody, you need to hit these three points. Like the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who does it put first? Yourself. When you love yourself and you come into a conversation, you need to express yourself, your fears, your thoughts, and your wants. And that's what I see missing in that conversation between John and Simon. The second thing you need to think about when you're talking in important conversation is your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now it's time for me to acknowledge John, which I think I did great there. Hey, I trust you. You've done this before. You are a good man. I am happy for you. So, you know, second step was taken care of. So some people miss that piece, right? The third piece is other stakeholders, children, family, church, you know, all these other things, right? And so my thought and fear about what people are going to say is valid. We are going to have complete conversation. It has to be speak the truth in love. So we are talking about the portion of speaking the truth, the whole truth, my truth, John's truth, other people's truth, we bring it to the table. So I'm going to give you just 1 minute to look at your conversation that you have there and fill in the gaps. Did you touch those three things? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Oh yeah, there it is. Being true to yourself, caring about the other person, and considering the stakeholders, other stakeholders. So in that conversation that you had, if you covered all that, yay for you. But for some of us, and from last week when we talked, I think people like Sarah, maybe like me somewhat, well, because you want to keep the peace, you may not bring your whole truth. Because you're scared this person is going to flip out or overwhelm you. So you're just like, you know what? Let's just keep that to ourselves type thing. Right? Yes, Janine.
What do you do if you don't have number two in your toolbox?
How do you draw it out?
Of yourself.
So I think maybe listen to
sure I'm the only one.
No, you're not.
Like, one is so big that it swallows number two.
Oh. So any people, anyone wants to share about that, if you have learned something about understanding the other person and seeing where they are coming from, taking a minute to do that? Okay, so for me, it's thinking about what does he want, or he said he's overwhelmed. When you have a conversation with someone, like when we had that first conversation, John said he was overwhelmed, he was stretched thin, he wanted to spend more time with his family and his son. So much as some of those things, I'm like, pff, you know? But who doesn't want to spend more time? I didn't do that. I acknowledged, right? So it may start out with a surface acknowledgement of the other person, but you still want to acknowledge.
Well, it's easy because you love him, but what about your work situation?
Okay. This is the thing. We are shaped by how we are born, the nature, and nurture, so our environments, like you say, how you're held. But when we become adults, if you want to have a fruitful, valuable life, you begin to skill up in the areas that you are deficient. Because if you don't, you're not going to live life to the full.
That's true.
So if you are not a people person by default, you skill up. You learn those things. You make yourself. Like for me, I'm pretty much an introvert. I wouldn't mind buying an island and living there on my own and have John and Daniel come and visit me on schedule 3 days. You know, I wouldn't mind that, right? At work, so I am a supervisor and I am, you know, stakeholdering all the time. I wouldn't mind crawling under my desk and just doing my work. That's my natural default. But hey, I cannot do that. That's unrealistic. So I have to skill up. I have to skill up on relationships. I have to skill up on communication. But when I get home, then I crawl under my bed or something. You know? So that's what we do as adults. You find where you're deficient and you skill up on it. So Janine, I think it's great that you're looking to skill up on that thing at work. I think it's great. It's commendable and go for it. Any tools that you need on empathy building, you know, whatever it is that will make you effective, win that relationship, it's great.
By the way, that was a great question.
Mm-hmm.